This podcast takes me home for a brief moment to Summit High School. In 2001, I was a new mom starting a new job in a new school at Summit, Ben's newest at the time, high school located on the west side of town. The theater was incomplete that fall, and there was a worry that we wouldn't get our first show onto the stage in December. But it all worked out, and for 6 years, that was my home. Today, you get to hear my chat with Summit's talented theater educator, Lara Okamoto, who has led Summit High School Theater for over a decade. She's built an excellent program for both performance and technical students with challenging shows, guest artists, giving students a voice and opportunities to express themselves both collaboratively and independently. Parent herself, Laura is the epitome of the high school theater teacher. She wears a stack of hats that reflect the breadth of her job. She's created and fostered a learning environment that nurtures both the artistic and professional world for her students. And she does it as a 0.5 highly qualified educator of the arts. I hope all of you listening will visit Summit Theater's Spotlight page at www.stspotlight.org to get your tickets, or donate, or volunteer to keep this excellent program thriving and support its ongoing mission to make theater accessible for all students for years to come. Let's listen in. Here with Lara Okamoto, who is at Summit High School. We just walked through and it is beautiful. Crazy. Juggling, you know, a million balls in the air, spinning a lot of plates, and yet sitting here in an office with a saw in the background and
it's ambiance.
You have not like exploded or anything, so
not yet.
That's awesome. And that's kind of the life of a drama teacher, isn't it?
Yes.
That this is normal chaos day.
When we're pre-production about a week out, then it's pretty much all of the worlds collide and you're just trying to keep afloat.
Yeah. Because you open with Mean Girls next
December 6th.
December 6th.
Yeah. And so we take Thanksgiving off. I give everyone the break. So,
nice.
We tried it a couple years ago. I was a little worried about them being away from the show for a whole week, but we've actually discovered that we can do a nice final push and then everybody gets a week to kind of recoup, relax, get rested, and then they come back a little bit better prepared. So nice. Fingers crossed.
It's going to work.
The pattern continues.
It's going to work. That's awesome. All right. So I always start off with, tell me your story. How did you get to Summit?
Oh, it's a long story. So I was mostly, I would frame myself as an athlete in high school. I have 10 varsity letters. I liked to just do all the sports. That was my thing. My junior year of high school, I needed to fill some more elective credits. And mm-hmm. So I took a theater class.
Oh yeah. It's like crack, isn't
yep.
it?
Yep. And I fell in love with it. It was so fun. I met new people that I didn't, you know, play sports with, and it was just a whole different world. I had a great theater teacher. His name was Don McCullough, and he was just really enthusiastic, and it was just kind of opened up a whole other world for me. And it wasn't something that I was planning on doing. I did 2 years of that, and then I kind of ended up taking a year off after high school because of a few different random circumstances. My college plan didn't quite work out.
Life happens.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't money that I thought was there, and then I couldn't pay tuition, and so I didn't end up going to school. So I was working full-time at a mortgage company and then taking night classes at community college just to get my AA for, you know,
yeah,
a little less money. And I was really floundering, struggling, because I was on a trajectory. Yeah. And the trajectory got thrown off, yeah. And I went back to visit my high school theater teacher, and he said, come assistant direct with me. And they were doing the Scottish play,
Nice.
And I was actually taking a Shakespeare class, my first Shakespeare class, at community college, and loving it, just really loving the language. And so I said, yeah, I want to try that. That sounds great. And so I came in, and I had no credentials. I had 2 years of theater experience. I was in a Shakespeare class, and he let me work with the actors, build characters. He even let me direct a scene without any guidance. He gave me a scene to direct, and it was the Banquo's ghost scene.
Cool.
Which was so fun, and I fell in love. That was it. I liked being on stage. I love being behind the scenes. So then I kind of changed gears and found a school that had a theater education program. And
where'd you go to school?
I went to Western Washington.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Had a great experience up in Bellingham with the program there. Got my master's in teaching there too. So I just doubled up and did it all at once. And then I decided to travel abroad to do my student teaching. I did that over at a boarding school in England.
Nice.
And that just opened my eyes even more to what theater could be and culturally what it was over there. And it was a really, really amazing experience teaching over there. Came back to the States, tried to find work as a theater teacher and a new theater teacher at that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just not a lot of options. So I was just throwing resumes left and right. And I ended up doing I can't even remember what it was back then. It wasn't Zoom, but an interview over the internet.
pre-COVID.
Well, this would have been 2008.
Yeah.
And I interviewed at Aspen High School in Colorado.
Okay.
And landed that job, just packed up my Subaru and moved to Colorado, and taught there for 5 years, met my husband.
Nice.
And then kind of decided that we could not afford the life we wanted there. So we started looking around for, you know, where we wanted to put down roots, start a family. And growing up in Portland, Bend was always a place that I visited and loved.
Mm-hmm.
Had that same kind of lifestyle that we'd gotten accustomed to in the mountains.
Yeah.
And a job opened up at Summit High School, and I again interviewed over the internet. So I interviewed for a job in Colorado while I was in Oregon, and I interviewed for a job in Oregon while I was in Colorado.
Nice.
And I was hired in 2013, and I've been here ever since.
That's awesome.
So long,
it's a great
long journey.
Story. I love that. And you found your thread, because what you have built here is fantastic.
Well, it's home.
It is home.
This is home.
Home for you, but also home for the kids that go through your program.
Yeah, and I've actually had kids come back. The lovely new theater teacher at Bend High School,
mm-hmm.
Madeline Williams, was a student of mine. She graduated here at Summit in 2016. Last year, she contacted me to see if she could do her student teaching, and she was a student teacher here with us last year, which was so fun to have her here. And then I was so excited for her to get that Bend High job. So
that's awesome.
We've got a lot of connections in the community, which is great.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right. So tell me about your theater program. What kind of classes do you teach? What do you do?
We're all over the place. I'm still only a 0.5 theater teacher here. So some of the cuts that the district was feeling.
Wait, my jaw just fell off the floor. It's off my face. I have to pick it up. Okay, it's back on.
Yeah, I'm only 0.5 here for theater.
Okay.
And so we've had to cut back our programming a little bit. In our heyday, we were offering 8 different levels of theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now we offer, I think, 5 different classes. So I have kind of my introductory level courses. So I have a theater one and a stagecraft one, where students can either kind of get on the performance track or the behind the scenes track,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of get their feet wet a little bit. And then we have level 2 classes in both theater arts, performing and stagecraft.
Okay.
And then we have our advanced production class, which is called Thunderous Applause.
Nice.
Yes. And that class actually puts on two productions a year. So within the class, we actually
That's great.
Produce things. Usually we do a touring children's theater and a black box style show. This year we're trying something new.
Love that.
I don't know if we want to get into that yet or just segue right in.
We'll wait.
Yeah, so we're trying some new things. I'm kind of the camp of just because we've always done it this way doesn't mean that we always should.
Yeah.
I like to try new things.
Shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Sometimes there fails.
That's okay.
But then I know.
You learn.
Yep.
You learn. That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me about your playing spaces that you have. You have a black box. You have a main stage.
Yeah. So we have our main stage auditorium. It seats 600 people, traditional proscenium. Mm-hmm. And then we have our black box, which is the classroom. And we do performances in here. We really like doing those small scale performances. Sometimes it's more intimate. Yeah. We
have
lighting
in
here.
Yeah.
It is old. Yeah. But it is functional.
Yeah.
We can seat about 70 to 80 people in our black box, depending on what kind of sets and props we bring in. And then we have what I call the outdoor theater. The outdoor theater is not actually an outdoor theater. It is a concrete pad outside the school that we have on occasion taken over. And especially during COVID, we were building stages on that little concrete pad and then doing shows outside. So I've dubbed it the outdoor theater. I don't know that anybody else calls it that.
It's
just the Summit Outdoor Theater.
Summit Outdoor Theater.
Yeah.
At some point it'll be chiseled into the concrete.
That's
for
right.
You.
I will make my own plaque and I will just fix it up
one night. Yeah, all dressed in black. You'll come in. I love that. Good. Good. Tell me about your season.
So I always try and theme our season around kind of a message or something that I think I want to resonate out in the community, whether it's just our little theater community, whether it's a school, whether it's the community at large. This year, one of the things that I was noticing that we are struggling with is resilience and overcoming setbacks when things don't go our way. And just kind of learning how to be okay with things being disappointing or things not going the way that you want them to, or people not doing the things that you want them to, and how we kind of overcome those in positive ways to take those as lessons and find our way back on our feet and not just dig a hole and dwell in it.
Right.
So our whole season kind of revolves around that. We're starting out with Mean Girls.
Nice.
Great satirical comedy, beautiful musical with great music by Jeff Richmond and book by Tina Fey. It's based off of the 2004 Paramount movie that everybody's familiar with.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely high school satire. And one of the things I really enjoy about it is that it's high schoolers playing high schoolers instead of high schoolers playing 40-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, so we've had a really great run of shows where the students can really identify with their characters and understand what they're going through, and that just makes the experience so much more meaningful.
Yeah.
And so, of course, this is the exploration of Katie Heron, who has never been to a public high school before because she was homeschooled in Africa, and kind of has to get thrown into the social structure and hierarchies of high school and learn how to navigate them, and not necessarily in the best ways.
Yeah.
So.
And it's all going to be live on stage. Yeah,
live on stage. Yep. And there's nothing more relevant for these kids.
Yeah.
The social hierarchies, the cliques, the navigating relationships, the learning how to behave when the things that you want are just kind of a little bit out of reach, and what tactics are healthy and which ones are less healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's about learning to be okay with yourself and finding your own voice and not allowing it to be swayed by public opinion or social spheres, and just learning how to say, this is me, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
So, and I think that that's really
what
important.
A great show to open with, though.
Yeah. Yes. And we've been having so much fun with it. It's great writing, great music.
Yeah.
It's just fun. But then there's that underlying message that you can take away.
Yep.
So
what's next?
What's next is the experimental show. So this is one put on by our advanced students in class. So it's called Torch Song, which in musical theater, a torch song is a song about unrequited love. And so it's kind of a variety show. It's going to be cabaret dinner theater.
Right.
We're doing it off campus. So we're going to be serving dinner and drinks. It's going to be at the Embark space, which is the Roughware building that's just right near Summit. And so that show is going to be a variety of songs, dance numbers, scenes, and it's both a opportunity for students to explore individual performance, duets, group performance, and also is going to be a great fundraiser for us. There will be a silent auction. It should be a really fun night out. Just like get dressed up, have great entertainment, some excellent dinner. There will be auction items, so that should be fun.
What month will that be in?
That'll be in January, January 24th and 25th.
That's awesome.
And then we get to our big spring production, which is going to be Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, great.
So we talked about my love of Shakespeare.
Yep.
And I'm constantly trying to, you know, change people's opinions about Shakespeare because I adore it. I think that a lot of people have, you know, they get their prickles up about it just because it is hard to navigate. It's hard to understand.
Ninth grade Romeo and Juliet flashback. If I don't understand what's going on
exactly.
Until you figure out what the nurse is talking about. And then it's like,
Yes. And I don't think that Shakespeare needs to be that, you know, that old traditional. Mm-hmm. There's so much to it. So I do Shakespeare usually every other year. I'll rotate a comedy and a tragedy in there just to give students exposure to a lot of different varieties of styles.
Yeah.
This year I thought let's try and bring our audience on the inside a little bit by doing something that maybe they've seen the movie and they're familiar.
Yeah.
It's also not the whole show isn't in the language of Shakespeare.
Right.
It's a little bit more approachable and you're still getting all of these references. So for the Shakespeare nerds like me, there's all these references, but for the people that are a little bit more resistant to Shakespeare, it's a love story. It's a story about Shakespeare finding his voice through a muse and also learning resilience through learning that he can't actually have everything.
Yeah.
And Viola, the leading lady, also makes a choice at the end. And not everything needs to be happy for everyone to learn and to follow through and have successful lives. We know what happens to Shakespeare, you know, after this. So it's just a reminder that not everything gets to be tied up with a bow, because sometimes the best is yet to come. And we just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Again, life happens.
Life happens.
That is so awesome. How do you, well, you know, I had the question, you know, what goes into choosing and developing your season? Are you the person that makes the choices, or do you have kids help you, parents help you?
I do. I kind of make the final decisions. I let kids give me feedback on, you know, shows that they're interested in or have heard of or think about. My stagecraft students usually do a publicity and marketing unit at the end of the semester. And they have to do market research into the types of shows that will bring people into the theater. And based on that market research, then they have to pitch me a season. So I have on occasion taken shows directly from their pitches because they sold me on it.
Yeah.
So there are a handful that have ended up in our season, Shakespeare in Love being one of them.
Yeah.
That was pitched last year by the class.
Yeah.
So I take that into account, but I think I tend to kind of make the final decision based on a lot of different factors. Like, for example, this year, Mean Girls, this is the first time that we're not using a live pit. We really love to partner with our music programs here. Mm-hmm. We just didn't quite have the strong instrumentalists that we needed to be able to make that a fulfilling and successful experience for everyone. So we're kind of taking that year off to let the program over there build a little bit more, and then we'll revisit again and talk about what instrumentalists we have that could fill out a pit. And so the type of show that we can use for that. I think about the types of singers and actors that I have. I think about the technicians that I have and what skill sets we want to really showcase, and what's going to challenge the students in the best way possible and also hopefully land with our community.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into making that happen. What's the best part of your job?
Working with kids. I know it's the it's the obvious answer, but you know, and anyone that has worked in theater knows how hard the job is, how many hats you have to wear, how underfunded you are, how creative you have to get with the resources you have, how little time you have to do all of the things that you need to do. It's a really difficult job. And what makes it worth it is watching the students after a show closes and seeing the tears and the happiness and the joy, and seeing them be proud of themselves because they didn't know if they were going to be able to do it. And all of those things are really what I love about teaching theater. I've told my students this before, that I specifically chose high school because I think that this is such a phenomenal age. They are mostly the versions of themselves that they're going to be out in the world, and they just need a little bit of fine tuning. And I get to be there during that phase of watching them take that leap from childhood into adulthood, and make the life choices about, what am I going to do after high school? Where am I going to go? What do I want to do with my life? How am I going to embrace theater, whether it's professionally or as a hobby, or is this something I just cherish for the moments that I had? And seeing them kind of become those young adults is just so rewarding.
Yeah, that is. And the idea that you have, often you have 4 years to watch somebody grow and change and gain confidence and learn skills and become that new person. I think I always get sad at graduation time to say goodbye to those kids. But oh, what a gift to be able to have those 4 years to nurture.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
I love that. I love thinking about where they came from.
Yeah.
Starting out the program, especially the students that I've had for 4 years, or some of them earlier, when I work with community theaters and groups, and I work with some of the children's theaters, and some of them I've known for 6 years or longer, and to see them through that journey and to watch them just take that final step is really awesome.
All right. I have a question here about how to get tickets for your show. It says you can do them at the door. You can do them online.
Yes. So we're trying a new program this year. We are doing assigned seating. So if you want a special spot, you want to get your tickets online before the show.
Okay.
We have tickets are available on our website, summittheatercompany.com. There's a link that will take you directly to our ticket page.
Okay.
And also, they will be available for cash or check at the door. And we also take cards.
Awesome. Okay. Social media, if people want to track you?
Yeah. Instagram is kind of what we use the most. And that's at summit.theater, theater with an R-E.
Okay.
And we also have a Facebook and a TikTok, but those aren't as active.
Okay. Cool. What's something you'd like audience members, patrons, to know about the Summit Theater Company?
Great question. So much.
Because I had a list of, you're part of Thespians.
Yeah, we're a part of the Oregon Thespians, which is the International Thespian Society. So we participate in events around the state, including regionals, which is a performance competition. We don't treat it as a competition. We treat it as an opportunity for feedback and to support other performers around the state. And our state festival, which is always in the spring, where all of the thespians from around the state gather together in one space, and we take over the town of Salem.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see students find that they're not alone, because oftentimes in these buildings, they feel very isolated. And so when you gather together in those larger settings and realize you're not as alone as you thought you were. It's pretty magical to see that. We are completely self-funded. So our ticket sales, advertisements, sponsorships, donations, that's what funds our programs. That's what allows us to be able to continue doing shows and to do them at the level that we do them, to be able to take these field trips to, you know, congregate with other thespians to see professional theater outside of Bend. We've also been able the last 2 years to bring in professional actors. Last year, we brought in Andrew Kober, who was part of the original cast of our production, Alice by Heart. And he actually was here and did a workshop with our students. This year, we actually got to Zoom call with Taylor Louderman, which was amazing. She is just a delight. We performed a couple numbers for Mean Girls. She's the original Regina George on Broadway. We performed some numbers and she gave us feedback and we got to do some Q&A. And those experiences are life-changing for students to have those opportunities. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, support us in any way you can.
That's right. All right, good. Well, so then the next question was, how can patrons help you to thrive? Fundraising, volunteering, program advertisements, what would all of the above?
All of the above. We actually, I'm very, very fortunate. This year, just this last year, my parents got together and they started a theater booster specifically for Summit. It's the first year we've had that. It's called Summit Theater Spotlight. And they have a website, stspotlight.org. And there's information on donations, fundraising, volunteering, getting involved, about our program and what we do for our students and what our mission statement is. And there's so much information and they're just, I'm so grateful to them. They have made this world open up so much more and given me so many opportunities to be able to serve my students better because they're taking this on.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. If you can, you need to go and see Mean Girls.
Absolutely. And, it's not one to be missed.
It is not one to be missed. So mark your calendars and I'll have the information on the website and on the calendar correctly. And Lord, it's been so nice to talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
All right.
It's been a delight to catch up.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Wow. I know that you are juggling a lot of balls. I'm so glad that you gave me this moment of Zen so that we could chat and we could talk. I love what you do.
Thank you.
I love how you take care of kids. I love your commitment to theater.